I see some familiar faces, and I see some faces that are not so familiar, and I do agree with the comments that were made that we're never strangers when we come into the house of God. We are just family that we haven't met yet, and it's a great privilege for me to be here to bring you the word of the Lord tonight. To do my best with these lips of clay to try to inspire you, try to encourage you in the things of God. We live in a world today that is very distraught. We live in a world today that a lot of people are living in fear. Fear of the unknown, fear of what they see on the news. I was going to coin a phrase that President Trump has used, fake news, but maybe I better stay out of that. But there's people living in fear all over. And one of the things that amazes me is the amount of people that profess faith in God who are living in fear as well. Thus, the impetus of the message that I'm bringing to you tonight. We were here last May, I believe it was, and God gave me a word to share about how he calls people, and we talked about the story of Moses and Moses' call to the ministry and God's plan for Moses' life. And I believe with all my heart that God has a plan for each and every one of us, a plan for good, not for evil, a plan to prosper us, and he promises to never forsake us if we will cast not away our confidence in him. There's a story found in Matthew's gospel concerning Jesus, who after several days of ministering to the crowds that were coming to him, he had to get away. He was fatigued. He was wore out. He had to get away for rest. And in exhaustion, he fell into a deep sleep in the midst of a ferocious storm as he and the disciples were crossing the Sea of Galilee. It's only a handful of verses in length, but it's a story that we can all learn some significant lessons from. Matthew chapter 8, verses 23-24 says, "Then he, Jesus, got into the boat, and his disciples followed him. And suddenly a furious storm came up on the lake, so that the waves swept over the boat. But Jesus was sleeping." Being tossed to and fro, waves sweeping over the boat, and there's Jesus sound asleep. The disciples finally went and woke him up, saying, "Lord, save us! We're going to drown!" And then Jesus replied to them, "O ye of little faith, why are you so afraid?" Then he got up and he rebuked the wind and the waves, and it was completely calm. Now, Jesus may have been sleeping when the storm began, but the narrative ends in a very powerful way with Jesus taking authority over the storm. And this evening, I want to try and encourage you with some insights concerning the storms of life that arise in each of our lives without warning. For several days, Jesus had been ministering healing to thousands of people, delivering people from demonic possession, oppression, sicknesses, and diseases. He was surrounded by huge crowds of needy people that had no other hope in life. But there came a time when he needed to take a rest from the strain, the stress, and the demands of those that needed his touch. And as we read this story, the question may arise as I make those kinds of statements, but I thought he was always accessible, that he never leaves us and he never forsakes us, that he never sleeps or he never slumbers. And folks, that is the truth. However, you need to understand that at this time, at this point in time where this story develops, Jesus was still in a human body that was subject to fatigue and weaknesses of human frailty. At this time when the story played out, Jesus was subject to the same things that you and I face because of his manliness, his mortality as being God-man. The writer of Hebrews in chapter 4, verse 14 to 16, tell us that Jesus is now our high priest, who was, now listen to what I'm about to say, who was acquainted with the same weaknesses that we struggle with. Yet now he has the power to help us overcome these weaknesses. There's a translation of the scriptures that I love reading along with the King James Version of the Bible, and along with the New Living Translation of the Bible, and along with the various other translations that help me get a good grasp, a full grasp of what the scripture is saying. And it's called the Passion Translation. It says, "We have a magnificent King Priest, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who rose into the heavenly realm for us and now sympathizes with us in our frailties. He understands our humanity, for as a man, he was tempted in every way, just as we are, and he conquered sin. So now, we can draw freely and boldly to where grace is enthroned to receive mercy's kiss and discover the grace we urgently need to strengthen us in our time of weakness." And so Jesus and his disciples got into the boat to cross over to the other side of the lake, to get away from the crowds of people for a short season of rest. But what these disciples were not expecting, and often what happens in your life, in my life, we don't expect, was the very sudden change in the weather and the storm they were about to face. The storm was so ferocious, in fact, that the disciples feared for their lives. And we don't know how long the storm was raging or how long the disciples fought the wind and the raging sea waves. But eventually, they went and they woke Jesus up, crying out in fear, "Lord, save us, we're going to die." What a prayer. But that's what it is, a prayer. And how many times have you and I come against a storm in our life and we felt the same way? All is lost. Lord, save us. We're going to die. I can't go on, God. I don't know what I'm going to do. And fear sets in. And anxiety begins to grab hold of our heart. Stress gets so bad that you can't sleep at night. I've been there. Thank God he was there with me as well. We don't know how long the storm was raging. One can only imagine how tired Jesus must have been after ministering to those multitudes of people that he could actually sleep through such a vicious storm. But when the disciples woke him up crying, screaming out of fear because they were convinced they were going to perish, Jesus replied, "You of little faith, why are you so afraid?" And then he got up and he rebuked the wind and the waves, and it was completely calm. A situation that caused the disciples to think that they were going to die was no match for the power and the authority of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The disciples were utterly amazed and in awe that the winds and the waves would obey him. And I've seen people amazed today when we pray for the sick and we face the situations and the tests in our lives, and God brings us through and we rise up as more than conquerors, and people are still amazed at the power of God. And when I let my imagination play out on this scene, I wonder what Jesus must have said to those followers during the calm after the storm. And I often think of that question. What are you so afraid of? Am I not in this boat with you? Do you not trust that I'm in control? Have you not learned that I can take care of everything? I'm the one who knows the beginning from the end. Do you think anything is going to overwhelm me or take me by surprise? Do you really think that there is anything too hard for the Lord to handle? Question that The angels of God asked Abraham, is anything too hard for the Lord to do? Oftentimes in the midst of challenges and the storms in my own life, I too have been tempted to fear, to worry about how I'm going to pull through the trial, get through the chaos, pay the bills when there's no money in the bank, forgetting all the time that Jesus made a promise. He will never leave us. He will never forsake us. That if we ask anything, if we ask anything in His name, He says He will do it. He's right there in the boat, in the middle of the storm with me. And He's right there in the middle of the storm with you. That is, if you have called upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and given your heart and soul to Him and invited Him to come in and let the Holy Spirit dwell within you, He's right there with you. He never leaves us. He never forsakes us. He never leaves us alone and on our own, walking through the valley. And the wonderful promise of Psalm 21, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why? For thy rod and thy staff, they're with me. No matter where I go, He's there as well. I faced that just in the last 2 weeks. We were on tour up through northern British Columbia. Some of you know that I'm an entertainer, a country music entertainer, as well as a preacher of the gospel. In the wintertime, we go south. We're snowbirds. We like the sun, not the snow. And we have a cowboy church down there that is a seasonal church. It starts the first Sunday of November, runs through till Easter Sunday of April. And we have a congregation of about 600 roughly people that come out to the services down there. But in the summertime when I come home, I spend my time in the marketplace of our world trying to sing a song that will unlock the heart's door of men and women wherever we go. And country music seems to do that. And there is an element of people that just, their hearts melt when they hear a great love song or an encouraging song about life. And when their heart is unlocked, I get to plant seed. Just like the farmers, you farmers that drag a cultivator over your fields in the springtime. You prepare the field to receive the seed. That's what we do with the music. And Eli and John, I'm so proud of them. I first met Eli back 30 years ago. I used to work for an organization called the Saskatchewan Agribition. And it was a great winter fair every November. And I had the opportunity to develop a lifestyles theater, is what they called it. And I would do a country music coffee break at 3 o'clock every day of the fair. And one of the seasons that we were there, this beautiful blonde bombshell came on the stage and she said, "Hi, my name's Eli and I'm singing here today." I said, "Oh, okay." And so that started a great friendship that she and I have enjoyed. John, so good to see you too. And I love the way you juke that old bass, man. I love that. That's great. But they, as well as I do, have learned how to fish for souls. Remember what Jesus said? Follow me and I will make you a fisher of men. That is our mandate as the body of Christ, as the church, is to preach the gospel, to live the gospel. In fact, try living it before you preach it. It'll make a bigger impact. Oftentimes, we don't know which way to turn or what to do when we face situations that are beyond our control. I was up in Barrier doing the Barrier Fall Fair. And I was doing the entertainment for it on their music stage. And then Cowboy Church on Sunday morning. When we got there, they said, "Jack, we have a problem." I said, "Oh, okay, well, how can I be a solution to your problem?" And they said, "Well, we don't have an announcer for the heavy horse pull, And our announcer for the lawnmower races just phoned us and told us he's sick and he can't come. And we need you to do our announcing. Well, I'm not a heavy horse pull announcer, but I can flap my gums. And when it comes to lawnmower races, well, that's all you got to do is be excited and be able to yell above the noise. I did that, but unfortunately, there was it very dry up there and a lot of dust. And in the lawnmower races, I was eating so much dust, I didn't even need to have dinner that night. I tell you, it was bad. And I got through the weekend, not too bad, but on the Monday after the fair, I could feel it coming down. And one of the problems that I have, one of the crosses that I bear, one of the fights that I have, is that if I get dust in my lungs, I wind up with bronchial infections. And so I could feel it coming on, setting on, and I had the Barrier Fall Fair to go and do in 3 days. Well, if you've ever had a bronchial infection, you know that it doesn't, you don't get over it in 2 or 3 days. But nevertheless, I had a contract. I needed to fulfill it. And I went by faith. I went ahead and went to the fair, set up our equipment. And even though I could barely talk, told them that we're good to go. And I don't know what happens when things like that happen. But I stepped up on the stage to start to sing. And our first show was a tribute to the great music of Charlie Pride. And I began to sing that first song, and there was no problem for the next hour and a half, just as if I had my voice. Got off the stage, people wanted to come and visit and talk, so I'm shaking hands, and I'm sounding worse than I do right now. Whenever I need strength to do what God calls me to do, I have a confidence that I can go do it, despite what the vocal cords say, despite what human people say, despite what doctors say, despite what medical research says. God gives us the strength. God will lead us through, and we can do exactly what we're supposed to do when we put our faith, our hope, and our trust in God. Cast not away your confidence in Him, for He has a great reward for you, which brings about great recompense of reward.